All right, so today, we're gonna dive deep into Yellowstone National Park.
Ooh, fun.
But not the bison and geysers, though.
Okay.
We're going underground
Oh, wow.
to explore the super volcano that everyone's talking about.
Yeah.
You know, you sent over a stack of articles about if it's overdue for an eruption,
Right.
and they include some really interesting publications from the US Geological Survey and even a new study from Nature that
Oh.
Fox Weather was talking about.
Yeah, Yellowstone, it really captures the imagination.
Right.
Like, it's fascinating how much attention it gets.
Yeah.
And there's always this underlying question, is it going to erupt anytime soon?
Exactly. That's what I was hoping we could unpack today.
Okay.
You know, we've all seen those dramatic documentaries about
Yes.
super volcanoes,
Yes.
but how much of that is hype?
Well, one of the biggest misconceptions is this idea that Yellowstone is overdue for an eruption.
Okay.
The USGS has done a great job debunking this myth. They point out that while Yellowstone has had three major eruptions in the past, 2.08, 1.3, and 0.631 billion years ago.
Wow.
That's an average of about 725,000 years between them.
So statistically speaking, we have some time to spare.
We do. But what's even more important is that this calculation is based on just two intervals. And statistically, that's not nearly enough data to make any concrete predictions.
Okay, that makes me feel a little better. But what about the sheer size of Yellowstone's magma chamber?
Right.
Doesn't that suggest that a huge eruption is inevitable at some point?
Well, that's where things get really interesting.
Okay.
The USGS research has revealed that Yellowstone's magma chamber is only 5-15% molten.
Wait, only 5-15% molten.
Yeah.
That's surprising. So most of it is actually solid.
Yes, exactly. It's solidified, but still incredibly hot.
Wow.
And this raises a crucial question.
Okay.
Is there even enough molten material to fuel a large-scale eruption like the ones in the past?
So it's not like this massive churning cauldron of liquid magma
Right.
just waiting to burst.
Not quite. It's more complex than that.
Okay.
And to understand the potential for different types of eruptions, we need to consider the different types of magma present at Yellowstone.
Okay, I'm all ears. Tell me more about these magma types.
Yellowstone is known for its rhyolitic magma, which is thicker and tends to be more explosive.
Gotcha.
Think of it as the type that's responsible for those truly massive eruptions that leave behind giant calderas.
Okay.
But Yellowstone also has basaltic magma, which is more common and flows more easily.
Oh, right. Like the kind we see in those dramatic Hawaiian eruptions.
Exactly. Those recent eruptions on the Big Island
Yeah.
are a perfect example of basaltic magma at work.
Yeah.
It creates these stunning lava flows. But generally, it's less explosive than rhyolitic magma.
Yeah, so it's not just about the size of the magma chamber, but also about the type of magma that's present.
Precisely. And when you factor in that only a small percentage of the magma chamber is actually molten, it really changes our understanding of the potential for a super eruption in our lifetime.
Yeah. I'm starting to see a more nuanced picture here. So, if a massive eruption isn't imminent, what's all the buzz about this new research? The one from Nature that's been making headlines.
Well, this is where things get even more fascinating.
Okay.
This study used a technique called magnetotellurics,
Okay.
and it maps the magma by tracking its electrical conductivity.
So it's like getting a different view of what's happening underground
Right.
compared to traditional seismic data.
Exactly. And what this study revealed is that the magma is stored in separate pockets, not in one giant chamber as previously thought. This makes a massive super eruption far less likely, at least in our lifetime.
Separate pockets, so more like scattered embers than one giant bonfire.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
It challenges our assumptions about how magma is stored and how it might erupt.
This is all so intriguing, but before we get too far ahead of ourselves, I want to go back to something you mentioned earlier about Yellowstone having experienced three major eruptions in the past. Can you paint a picture of what those eruptions were like?
Imagine an eruption so powerful that it blasts away a huge chunk of the Earth's crust,
Oh, wow.
creating
Yeah.
a massive crater
Okay.
or caldera
Okay.
that spans miles across.
Oh, wow.
That's what happened during the last super eruption at Yellowstone,
Yeah.
631,000 years ago.
Wow. That's hard to even imagine.
It created the caldera we see today,
Okay.
a colossal basin roughly 30 miles wide and 45 miles long.
Oh, she.
Just to put that into
Yeah.
perspective, it's larger than the entire Los Angeles basin.
That's enormous. What was the impact of an eruption of that magnitude?
Well, the USGS states that it would have been absolutely catastrophic.
Yeah.
Ash from the eruption blanketed a vast area, reaching as far as Southern California and the Gulf of Mexico.
Wow, that's almost the entire continent.
Imagine a layer of ash several feet deep.
Oh my gosh.
Burying entire landscapes.
Yeah.
Would have been a devastating event for both the environment and any life in the region.
That's truly mind-blowing. So we've got these ancient super eruptions, but also smaller events like the last eruption 70,000 years ago, which was a relatively small lava flow, right?
That's right. It's a good reminder that Yellowstone's volcanic activity can vary widely in scale.
Yeah.
And even though the potential for a super eruption is always there, it's important to remember that these events are incredibly rare.
Okay, so we've debunked the overdue myth and explored the different types of magma that influence eruption styles. But what about this new research that shows a shift in volcanic activity? What does that even mean? And should we be worried?
Well, it's not about immediate worry. It's more about understanding the incredible forces shaping Yellowstone. You know, remember that hot spot we discussed earlier?
Mm.
That plume of molten rock rising from deep within the earth?
Right, like a giant blowtorch beneath the surface.
Exactly. Now picture this. The North American plate. You know, the tectonic plate that Yellowstone sits on is slowly drifting southwest.
Okay.
But the hot spot remains relatively stationary.
So it's like holding a piece of paper over a candle.
Yes.
The paper moves, but the flame stays put.
Precisely. And as the plate moves over the hotspot, it creates this chain of volcanic activity.
Wow.
That's why we see a trail of ancient calderas stretching across Idaho.
Okay.
Marking past eruptions from this same hotspot.
Wow. So Yellowstone is just the latest stop on this volcanic road trip.
Kind of.
Where could it be heading next?
Well, this new research suggests that the next stop for the most intense activity might be northeast of the current caldera.
That's fascinating. But what does that mean for the park as we know it?
Right.
Will the whole landscape be reshaped?
Here's the key takeaway. These geological shifts happen over incredibly long timescales, far beyond a human lifetime.
Right.
We're talking about changes that would unfold over thousands, if not millions of years.
Okay, so no need to rewrite the park brochures just yet. But I can't help but wonder, if this shifting activity continues, what could it mean for the future landscape of Yellowstone?
Well, that's where the real excitement lies. From a scientific perspective, we're talking about the potential for new geysers.
Ooh, wow.
Hot springs, and even volcanic features to emerge in a different area of the park. Imagine new geothermal wonders for future generations to explore.
It's amazing to think about the constant evolution of our planet, especially in such a dramatic setting like Yellowstone. You know, we often think of national parks as these pristine, unchanging landscapes. But Yellowstone really challenges that notion. It's a place where the forces that shape our planet are on full display.
I couldn't agree more. And it's that very dynamism that makes Yellowstone such a captivating and scientifically important place to study.
So we've debunked the myth of Yellowstone being overdue for an eruption, explored the different types of magma, and delved into this shifting volcanic activity. What's the most important thing you want our listener to walk away with today?
I think the key message is that Yellowstone is a complex and dynamic system that demands respect, but not necessarily fear. We're constantly learning more about it.
Yeah.
And new research, like this magnetotelluric study, is giving us a clearer picture of what lies beneath the surface.
And what about the role of ongoing monitoring? What can you tell us about that?
Yellowstone is one of the most closely monitored volcanic systems in the world.
Okay.
The Yellowstone Volcano Observatory keeps a constant watch on things like seismic activity, ground deformation, and gas emissions.
That sounds like quite the operation.
It is, and it's all about understanding the subtle changes that could signal potential hazards. You know, they track thousands of tiny earthquakes each year, most too small to be felt.
Wow.
But they provide valuable data about what's happening deep underground.
So it's like having a finger on the pulse of the volcano.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that helps scientists assess potential risks and keep park visitors safe.
It's incredible to think about all the scientific work that goes into understanding and managing a place like Yellowstone.
It really is. And it highlights the importance of investing in scientific research and monitoring. You know, the more we understand about these complex natural systems, the better equipped we'll be to appreciate and protect them for generations to come.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground today, but before we wrap up this section, I have to ask, what are some of the things that still puzzle you about Yellowstone?
You know what fascinates me is the interplay between Yellowstone's volcanic activity,
yeah,
and the incredible diversity of life that thrives there.
Oh, yeah.
We've talked about the geological impacts.
Yeah.
But what about the ecological side of things?
Right.
How do the parks, plants, and animals adapt to this constantly changing landscape? That's something I'd love to explore further.
That's a fantastic question. And it reminds us that Yellowstone is more than just a geological wonder. It's a thriving ecosystem shaped by the powerful forces beneath the surface. But let's delve into that a little later. First, we need to take a closer look at some of those unique features that make Yellowstone so captivating. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We've been exploring the Yellowstone supervolcano, separating fact from fiction. It's easy to get lost in all the talk about super eruptions and shifting landscapes, but there's so much more to discover beneath the surface, literally.
It's true. Those dramatic events definitely capture the imagination. But what's often overlooked is the subtle everyday impact of Yellowstone's volcanism, the geothermal wonders that make it so unique.
Exactly. We've all seen those incredible images of Old Faithful erupting or those colorful hot springs. They're powered by the same forces we've been discussing, right?
Absolutely. Yellowstone is a geothermal wonderland. That hot spot we talked about, the one driving the volcanic activity, also fuels this vast network of geysers, hot springs, mud pots, and fumaroles.
Okay, remind me. Fumaroles are those steam vents, right? The ones that often have that distinctive aroma.
You got it. They release gases like sulfur dioxide and hydrogen sulfide, giving them that unique, shall we say, rotten egg smell.
Yeah, I think I'll skip the picnic basket near those. But seriously, what makes these geothermal features so significant?
Well, apart from being incredibly beautiful and fascinating, they also play a crucial role in the Yellowstone ecosystem.
Oh, that's interesting. Tell me more.
Think about it. Unique types of bacteria and algae actually thrive in those hot, mineral-rich waters. They form the base of a food chain that supports this remarkable diversity of life, from tiny insects to large mammals like bison and elk.
So it's like a whole hidden world powered by the volcano.
Exactly. And it's a delicate balance. Even subtle changes in geothermal activity can have ripple effects throughout the entire ecosystem.
That makes sense. It really highlights how everything in Yellowstone is interconnected, from the tiniest microbe to these large-scale geological features.
And it underscores the importance of ongoing scientific monitoring. By tracking changes in Yellowstone's geothermal activity, scientists can gain valuable insights into the overall health of the park's ecosystem.
So it's like taking the pulse of the volcano, and by extension, the pulse of the entire park.
A perfect analogy. And while we're on the topic of monitoring, we should mention that Yellowstone is one of the most seismically active areas in the United States.
Right. I remember reading about the thousands of earthquakes that happen there each year.
Exactly. Most are too small to be felt, but they're constantly being tracked by scientists. At the Yellowstone Volcano Observatory, they provide valuable data about the stresses and strains within the Earth's crust. It's like having a window into the inner workings of the volcano.
It sounds like they're putting together a giant puzzle, one piece of data at a time.
That's a great way to put it. And that puzzle helps them assess potential hazards and make informed decisions about park management.
So we've learned that Yellowstone's volcanism is responsible not only for those spectacular eruptions, but also for the unique geothermal features and the constant seismic activity that shapes the park. It's a truly remarkable place.
Absolutely. Yellowstone is a living laboratory where we can witness the incredible power of nature and gain a deeper understanding of our planet.
Yeah. It's a reminder that Earth is this dynamic, ever-changing system. And that's what makes exploring these topics so fascinating.
Indeed. There's always something new to discover and more questions to answer.
Well, on that note, I want to thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the Yellowstone supervolcano. We've covered a lot of ground, from the science of super eruptions to the delicate balance of the park's geothermal ecosystems.
It's been my pleasure.
And to our listener, we encourage you to keep exploring the resources we've mentioned. The Yellowstone Volcano Observatory and the USGS website are fantastic places to start. There's a whole world of knowledge out there waiting to be discovered.
And remember, Yellowstone is a place to be respected and appreciated, not feared. Its story is still being written, and we're all fortunate to witness a chapter in its unfolding saga.
Beautifully said. Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep diving deep.